Parshas Truma, one tends to look at these parshias as parshias like, you know, let's get them over with. You know, yeah, there's Avram Avinu, and there's Yitzchak, and there's Yaakov, and there's the Shvatim, and there's Yosef HaTzadik, and in Mitzrayim, and the Shibud, and Chris Yamsuf, and Kabbalah Satira. And then you have Truma, Tetzaveh, the Yakel, Pikudei, the Mishkan, the ins, the outs, the big, the small, the how many, and that. And it's sort of like, and it goes posuk after posuk after posuk. One tends to get a feel that somehow, you know, it's getting interrupted, the flow of action, of trying to teach us something over here, and just stuck with technicalities.
It was probably cut out of the movie. <laughs> Yes.
Nothing, though, can be further from the truth. That because Truma is so technical, every little technicality, every single tzivui in these parashas that are commanded and then repeated, that they did it, and then summarized, is to teach us limud after limud, lesson after lesson, in ben odom lechaveroi, ben odom lemokoi, ben odom laatzmoi. It's incredible. I just want to focus on a couple of limudim we learn from this, which I believe is very, very crucial to understanding ourselves. Let's start with the pasuk says, "Va'osu orin atzi shittim amatzayim v'chetzi orkoi v'am v'chetzi roch v'am v'chetzi kamosis." Perik chof hey pasuk yud. So the Gemara brings in brachus. Dafnun hey omad aleph. The Gemara says as follows: Omrav Shmuel ben Achmeini, Omrav Yonason, Bitzalel. Why is Bitzalel called Bitzalel? Says the Gemara, Hashem Chochmosi Nikra. He was called Bitzalel because of his wisdom. B'shor she'omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Leich emoy le'Bitzalel Aseli Mishkan, Orin V'Kedim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell Bitzalel, make a Mishkan, make an Orin, and make Kedim. First the Mishkan, then the Orin, and then the Kedim. Holach Moshe V'Hofach. Moshe Rabbeinu went and he changed it around. V'omaloin, he said to Bitzalel, I say oroin, but Canaan for Mishkan. Make first an oroin, then Canaan, then Mishkan. Omaloi, like broken telephone, Nahabdul. I told you one message and it sends a different message. Omaloi Moshe Rabbeinu, so Bitzalel said back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Min hogei shalolam, the derech is usually, Odom boine bayis, first the person builds a house. Then he buys his furniture. And you're saying, "Aseli Orin v'Kedim v'Mishkan." The first make the Orin and Kedim, and then build the Mishkan. Where are you going to put the Mishkan? Where are we going to keep it in Machsan somewhere? Doesn't make sense. Kedim shani oisel heichan achnisam. Where to put the Kedim? Shemu kach omel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps Hakadosh Baruch Hu told you something a little bit different. Maybe Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to you, "Asei Mishkan Orin v'Kedim." Maybe Hakadosh Baruch Hu told you to make it first the Mishkan, then the Orin and the Kedim. Maybe that's what he said. Omaloi Shemo Bitzel Kel Hayisi Yadas. Perhaps you were in the tzel, in the shadow of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How did you know this? The Gemara is a pele. The Gemara is very, very difficult to understand. Number one, HaKodesh Baruch Hu gave him a command. Right? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ne'emon, Roya Ne'emon of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, deviate from the command? HaKodesh Baruch Hu told you to do one thing, Moshe Rabbeinu told you something else. You completely change in the Tzivay Hashem, Rahman al-Islam. And then Bitzalel chapped. Bitzalel realized he made a mistake. How did Bitzalel realize? Elamai. How did he realize? It's poshut logical. The Gemara says it's logical. The Gemara says that the logic behind it is you don't buy furniture before you build a house. So if it's logical, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, "Psh, I'm so impressed, maybe you were in Bitzel, Kel"? Why is logical? So for every way you look at it, it's very difficult to understand. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu change it?
Moshe said
the Aron first. What's that? Moshe said to Bitzalel, first build the Aron, Kelim, and Mishkan.
Maybe Moshe was representing Torah, which is represented by the Aron. Oh. It goes with you wherever you are, and it's not limited to a building.
Of course. But the Tzibui, you have to understand the Tzibui. Yeah. Correct, of course. Absolutely. Yeah? So, but it's, therefore, the Tzibui was changed. Then Bitzalel realized the Tzibui had changed. Logically, Moshe Rabbeinu is so impressed. Maybe you were standing around with tail kill. That's why it's called Bitzalel. What was the chokhmah here? So, Rav Dunna from London, Zachon Yisrach of Yosef Dunner, says a very nice piece over here, and he says that the perspective we have on the Mishkan has got to be something that has to be analyzed carefully. You know, the difficulty sometimes in the most difficult thing in the world, in the Olam of the way we know it, is a Kodesh Baruch Hu is called Tzimtzum. It's where Kodesh Baruch Hu is so gigantic, so magnificent, so incredibly huge, so without sof, that he can take himself and he can put himself, mitzamtzem himself in to a small area. Especially in the place of a Mishkan. That Tzimtzum is something which is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu Kavayochel is mitzamtzem himself into many, many, into our neshama, into the world. You have to understand what this is. Moshe Rabbeinu had a perspective of what is a Mishkan? What is a Mishkan? Yeah? What is a Mishkan? And in truth, I mean, let's go further than that. In truth, when we have Parshas Truma, we are talked about the Oren does come before the Kelim. The Oren does come before the building of the Mishkan. So if Moshe Rabbeinu got it so right, why Kavyochel the Kodesh Baruch Hu tell him the other way around? In other words, why did the Tzivui of Oren yes come before the Mishkan if in fact it was told to will to do something else? The answer is like this. The building of the Mishkan and the way it is, of course there's a physical element to it. Of course there's a practical element to it. But beyond the practicalities runs something much deeper. And let's understand this. In any building, there are two main elements to it that give it greatness. You know, give it greatness. There is the architectural beauty of it, and there is the practicality, the functionality of it. A front door is functional, not necessarily architecturally beautiful. You go to places in the world where, in old Europe, where they, architecture was something they were proud of. You go to Prague, you go to Warsaw, you go to these places, the amazing amount of money and time and effort put into architecture. You don't just put up buildings and sling them up and as high as you can, yeah, and shoot up lifts as high as you can, and that's a building. The architecture, the beauty, every building has a Yosel here and another saint over here, and they're crazy. Because Lahavdil, there's an element there of pride in where you and what you're building. There's a pride element of it, and that is a very major part of building. Masad Shaini, these little shtiklach on top there, little things on this saint, wherever it is on top of the building, it's not going to help you get in the front door, if there's no front door. Perhaps they believe it does, but it doesn't, right? And therefore you've got to build a front door to be able to get in. And therefore in any building there's an element of the beauty of the architecture and an element of functionality. What was the Oren? What was the Oren? Was the Oren architecturally beautiful, or was it and was it functional? Let's understand it. The Oren, what is the architecturally beautiful? What does that do? In order, it enhances the pride of seeing this. It creates a vestige of beauty and respect and magnificence. And where you go, nobody saw the Oren. The Oren was stuck in a Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nobody saw it besides the Kohen Gadol. Once a year, he went inside. I don't believe for a second the Kohen Gadol had the audacity to look up at the Kruvim. To look up at the Kruvim where the he didn't. And therefore who saw it? So it didn't have the architectural amazing beauty of it. It didn't have it. Was it functional? The Mizbeach was much more functional. Every single day you used it to bring up Korbonos. The Menorah, every day you lit it. Shulchan, you had the Lechem upon him. Was it functional? Once a year on Yom Kippur between Bein Abadim he put the Pareches. So it wasn't that functional and it wasn't that beautiful. If so, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu give the command of the Dinim of building the Oroin before anything else? Moshe Rabbeinu realized that is important. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that there's something that is far deeper than building a Mishkan, and that is what the Oroin represents. Oren represents Torah. Oren represents Shivrei Luchos Anova. Oren represents the Tzintzenes Hamon of Amunah. That is the life of a Jew. The life of a Jew is Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, Emunah, Betochen. That is the Oren. What else do you want? What, it's something about building. Something about being practical. Where am I going to put it? What, that's what you're worried about now. That's what you're worried about. How are you going to put it? So Moshe Rabbeinu understood. He went and he believed that all the Mishkan is all about the message that the Oren is supposed to give, not about the function of the building. And therefore, that's why he said, Akosh Baruch Hu told me to do this, but I know what Akosh Baruch Hu really means. I know Akosh Baruch Hu means make the function of the Oren the most important. Start off with that. Start off with the Oren. That's what you should start off with, because that really is imposed, and the truth is it is. But Akosh Baruch Hu says, Imen Torah im kemach, Imen kemach in Torah. Of course, there is the understanding of what Torah is all about, the Gadlus HaTorah, the Hashpos HaTorah, the Kinyone HaTorah. Everything is wonderful, but it has to be, to a certain extent, practical too. It's got to be a situation where you can live a life together, not going up to Har Sinai for 40 days and living without bread and water. There has to be a functionality. And Bezalel took that normal, he took what he believed was beyond, yeah, beyond the message, and made it practical. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu missed in this message. And later on the parasha we see the same thing. Incredible vault. Later on the parasha, it says that Kosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to make Vasisi Manoira Zov Tohir, Miksha Teyasa Manoira, Yerecho Teyasa. What does Teyasa mean? Teyasa. It shall be made. Doesn't say Tasu. It shall be made. And it says, and that's how you should make the Manoira. So if you look in Rashi, there's a Rashi, it says in Perek Chof Hei, Posuk Mem, Rashi says, Ure'ei va'asei b'tavnisom eish asher ato mare b'hor. Go and look at the tavnis of the creation that showed in the hor. Isn't this, Rabbi? So, Mare digavot. So he says over here in Posuk Mem, says Rashi, Ure'ei kan b'hor tavnish ani mare oischo. Look at the plans that are showed in the Har Sinai. Magid sheniskashe Moshe b'masa menayro. Moshe Rabbeinu found it very difficult to build the menorah, to do the menorah. Ad sheher loy Hakadosh Baruch Hu menorah shel eish, until Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed him the menorah shel eish. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu found it very difficult to understand what the menorah is. Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed him an eish, like a fire. Ah, now I understand what it is. Everything's Torah and Hashemayim. Did Moshe Rabbeinu know what tefillin look like? The only protein going to a pair of tefillin are the ksav. Well, the menorah is more complicated than that. What's the deal behind that? Well, he had to show Marashal Eish. Where else did the Kosh Baruch Hu show Moshe Rabbeinu a Marashal Eish? No, but which other mitzvah? Machtit HaShekel. Machtit HaShekel, the Apostle says, is Kashu Moshe Rabbeinu Eish had a difficulty. Herak loy HaKosh Baruch Hu Matbeah Shal Eish. HaKosh Baruch Hu Shal Matbeah Shal Eish. What's the idea here? Why Matbeah Shal Eish? What does that work? So the Balei Musaf say this, and the Chassidish Rebbe say this, and the Gedolei Chochma and the Hashkofa say this. They all say it. I can quote you different people. The Sfasema says this, and the real Yekka Rav Duna says this, and the Rav Ferber says this. They all say the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot understand that you're trying to be Mechanech Klal Yisrael. You're trying to be Mechanech Klal Yisrael of how to be a Ben Torah. How do you live as a Torah Yid? So what do? You take this big fancy gold menorah. Well, that is showing how a Yid's supposed to live. Well, give chashivas to gold and silver. To build this big fancy thing, complicated with all the parachah, but, well, this big rebbish and menorah. That's what we need in order to show a very, very humble thing, show a little thing, pasa melech teichel, maim sura tishte, or a bispik. All this gold and silver is for that. That's what it's all about. Machzis a shekel. What's machzis a shekel? Chapel nafshu yiseichem. To have a kapara. What? Money is what gives you a kapara. Learn some musa. Money is what? That's money is the worst thing possible. Money is, distracts you. That's what's going to make you into a gadol b'Torah. That's what's going to make you chapel nafshu yiseichem. Her alaya kodesh baruch hu matzbeh shel eish. Her alaya kodesh baruch hu eish. What's eish? Eish is something that is the most incredibly destructive product. Destructive element, right? It destroys, it burns, you can have whole forests are burnt down with it, it destroys. Mesad Sheni, you cannot live without fire. You need fire to cook, you need fire to warm, you need fire to mold, to solder, you need fire for. So the Kodesh Baruch, of course, gold and silver is terrible, but look at fire. Is fire good? Is fire bad? It depends how you use it. If you use Kesev Vezov in the correct way, Moshe Rabbeinu, how can you use Kesev Vezov? Because the answer is it's like fire. How can you use a Machzor Shekel? Because it's like fire. Just like fire can be used in the correct way, Torah could be used in the correct way, gold could be used in the correct way, you could use money to support Torah, to support. That's what it's all about. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu's question. So Moshe Rabbeinu lived in a world of Kulei Ruchni. What, gold and silver? Niskashiloi, what's Peshat? No, you gotta use money. We're in the world of Ruchnias, we're in the world of Gashmis, gotta use both together, and that's what's gonna create us to be big. But there's more than that, and I wanna add on one vort, which I think I heard from the Sfasem, Chadush Arim, I don't remember. Moshe Rabbeinu had another kasha by the case of the Machzor Shekel. Listen to this, Moedig Avot. Machzor Shekel is a mitzvah that gives you no scope for growth. You're not allowed to give any less or any more. You can't do any more. How can it possibly be that you can get a mitzvah that you can't do more? Mitzvahs are all about growing, all about perfecting, all about steiging, doing all the best you can. This is the thing, nobody can give more. Stop. This is it. That is a mitzvah. Niskashaloi. How can it be such a thing? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're making a big mistake. Of course the currency, how much it is a half a shekel. But you have to do a matzbeah shel eish. What's matzbeah shel eish? The koiches you put into it, the machshava, the mind you put into it, the heart you put into it, the warmth you put into it, that is what creates some sort of growth between one person giving it as a kalta, like a cold person, or a person who's giving it with islavus, with love and passion. He showed him the matzbeah over here, the currency that creates the difference between not doing it well and doing it well is the ish, is the fire you put into it. That is what it's all about. That's my special ish. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, how can you, you're limited, you're not limited. The ish is unlimited. The amount of passion you put into it is unlimited. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is told by Kodesh Baruch Hu that the Menorah represents Torah. Niskashaloi. What's Niskashaloi? I'd like to add on, this is my own vote. Niskashaloi means Moshe Rabbeinu saw there's got to be Miksha Achas. Miksha Achas means it's not something you start a little bit one day and a little bit another day. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be made out of one piece. There's no growth. You can't just grow. You can't do day by day and grow by. You've got to be Miksha Achas. The whole thing is in one piece. How can you expect somebody to enter Torah with that concept? How can you expect a person to enter Torah in a way that on one hand, Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah, and the person's got to be a person in Torah Nichnes, and a lesser person is a Baal Midas. But how do you get Midas without having Torah? How do you have a Miksha Achas? How do you have a situation where you can have both at the same time and it comes simultaneously? How does that happen? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how do you have a Miksha, if you made it piece by piece, a person learns a little bit, but how do you have a Miksha Achas? Zog the Rabbeinu Shleim, says Rabbeinu Shleim, I'm making a mistake. You think that you're building the Menorah, throw it into the fire. The Pasuk says over here, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to do it. Me'leho. So he said, Te'osmer me'leho lefisho Moshe miskashebo. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashleich elakikah lo'orivu nasis me'leho. Throw it into the fire and it becomes by itself. Torah is not about us being able to grow and trying to provide ourselves with education. What you have to do is, you got to throw yourself into the Beis HaMedrash. You got to throw yourself into Gemara and it comes simultaneously. The Midas Tavis and Yedias HaTorah work like fire. They kasher you and they work simultaneously. That is a gadlus. So this was Moshe Rabbeinu's Sofok, and that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer. And therefore again, this Parsha, or Parsha's Truma, is by no means just working through details and working through how big and how small. Every single pasuk teaches us the concepts of ideas of growth and Torah in Yerushalayim. How we're supposed to take Ruchnius and Gashmius and blend them together. That it's not a terrible thing. It's Eish. Kesef Vezov is like Eish. Using the correct way, it's possible. Our koichus of creating our individuality mitzvahs is our koich of Eish. The Slavus we put into it. And all you have to do is bring ourselves to the base medrash, throw ourselves in, and Eish Nase Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us that fire for aftergrowth.